is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by the Oseeder Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Close this coffee shop?
Nothing like the kids are rocking, Trudy. You been to the concert?
Oh, I wish I had. Maybe I'm learning something at the lectures I'm attending, but I don't know what. Tonight I'm sitting on a hard chair listening to, what was it, certain psychological aspects of the influence of Zen.
What does that mean?
I don't know, Hazel, but I know they'll never make an X-rated movie out of it. Hey, you seen Kate this evening?
Nope, she hasn't come in yet.
Oh, I guess she had a date.
Well, she doesn't go out very much, does she? At least she eats in here an awful lot.
Well, the meatballs and spaghetti are pretty good.
So are the spaghetti and meatballs. You know, when I first laid eyes on Kate, I never thought she'd stick it out at studio.
Neither did I.
I thought she'd be getting her own apartment and going out on the town. If she's too young to be stuck up here.
Gee, Hazel, the way she's been stuck all her life, this is wide open. But I know what you mean.
Well, you got to live while you're young, Trudy. It never comes back.
Well, Kate is catching on, and...
Hey, what do you know? Don't look now, Trudy, but we got company.
Jeff.
A bad penny come rolling home.
Yeah, and he's wearing shoes. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Earth Mother. Queen of the night, can I kiss your hand?
Sliced onions and all. Am I glad to see you, Jeff?
Me too. Where you been, Jeff?
Oh, probing space.
How's that?
The world called, I answered.
Well, what do you have, Jeff? The special is
spaghetti and meatballs. But I have dined, gracious lady, and I regret every minute of it. Porterhouse steak and all the ice cream I ever wanted.
Oh, boy, you must have struck pay dirt.
Would you believe my father?
Sure I would. You're a nice kid.
Yeah, he promised I would be if I just returned to home pastures.
You mean Texas?
Yep, where they feed you success with your breakfast cereal.
Lord, what does that mean?
It means home is where the heart is, Hazel. And I am damn glad to be here.
Hey.
Also, I bring you tidings of joy. My guitar is all better. Hey, Trudy, is Kate still around?
Yeah, she is.
Oh, I was afraid she'd shape up and go home.
What do you mean, shape up?
Well, they'd put her through the squeezer and she'd come out four square for Bellhaven.
Well, that's not the worst thing that could happen.
It's the very worst. I suppose old Pinstripes is still around, too.
Maybe I'd better bring you up to date.
She didn't marry him.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Jeff, you got a mind like a mousetrap.
I've been called dirtier words. Where is she?
Kate?
Yeah, I brought her a present. In fact, I brought all you girls in my life presents.
Well, now, that was real sweet. But I don't go for that Texas rattlesnake meat.
Aw, it tastes just like chicken, Hazel. Once you taste it, you'll never eat chicken again.
Oh, the concert must be over.
I'm not tuned in yet. Have I still got a room, Trudy?
Well, why not?
Well, I left the manager lady some money, but I never know if it's enough.
Well, she'll tell you.
I got two left shoes. I better go up and find my right one. Nighty-night, Hazel.
Oh, go along.
Hey, I'm on my way home, too. You know, I'm really glad you're back, Jeff.
Thanks, Trudy.
You know, Kate and I were worried.
No kidding. Why?
Well, oh, never mind. Incidentally, I borrowed your room one stormy night.
Without me in it?
And Kate has your tape recorder if you're looking for it.
Oh, Trudy, do me a favor, will you?
Yeah?
Get that tape recorder for me now. I'll speak her a nice, friendly message into it. Me and my guitar.
Driver.
Gotcha.
And keep your meter going.
Right.
Thanks for bringing me home, Ned.
After you've given Holly and me such a pleasant evening, we're not going to turn you loose.
You're so nice. I just can't thank you enough for having me out to dinner.
Well, we're going to do it more often. Yeah, I'll walk you to the door just to make sure.
Hmm. Isn't the city marvelous on winter nights?
You like it?
Oh, yes, now that I'm used to it.
It isn't an easy place to live in. It's exciting, but it's tough. And it takes toughness.
Oh, yes, I'm developing that.
I don't think you ever could. Not enough to win this town.
Ned, I don't look forward to meeting Tony's wife. But I am going to be tough enough to do it.
Yeah, so Holly said.
I didn't know Tony was married when I met him, and I don't know, maybe he should have told me. But he didn't.
Knowing you now, Kate, I can understand why you wouldn't have seen him again.
Right. Now I've really gotten myself in a mess.
Oh, I wouldn't call being in love a mess. Not at your age.
Well, it's just that now my whole idea of marriage is all mixed up. Well,
so is everybody else's today. Oh, I'm all for the girls who want freedom. I think the home routine must get pretty dull.
Is that what happened to Claire Cushing?
Oh, Claire's a brilliant but restless woman. And she's not domestic. She hates keeping house. Yet, I think she's afraid of going it alone.
How long were they married, Claire and Tony, before they separated?
Well, let's see. They separated finally about 4 years ago. Some breaks before that. Well, I'd say they lived together about 8 years.
It's a long time.
It sure is, if it's wrong.
Was it wrong, Ned?
Well, who knows? People marry. They're the only ones who know why. They're the only ones who know if it's right or wrong. You know, we all get too much outside advice these days.
Well, you and Holly certainly don't need any.
Well, we break up every once in a while. We don't ask if we're still in love. Well, after 15 years of marriage, a man and woman don't feel the same way as the first time they went to bed.
But you always make up and come back together.
Yeah, for one simple reason. We don't do very well apart.
That's the kind of marriage I want to have someday.
Well, that's the kind some man will want you to have.
Some man?
Oh, it's the old chemistry, Kate. Nobody can pick him out but you.
Oh, Ned, do you think Claire and Tony could grow back together ever?
You mean under the same roof? No.
But she still wants him around.
Kate, I don't agree with my dear wife. I think you should go and see Claire. She's one kind of woman. You're another. But you've got an interest at stake, too. So go and find out for yourself what it is she wants. Just don't be surprised.
Hi, Kate.
Oh, Trudy, are you still here?
I was just on my way, but I saw you standing outside the door talking to some guy.
Oh, that was Ned Benson. He and Holly are Tony's best friends.
Ah, his wife, too?
They've known Claire about as long.
Whose side are they on?
Oh, Trudy, it isn't like that at all.
It's always like that, Kate. Don't kid yourself. You get mixed up with a married man and his friends split right down the middle like the National Football League.
I am mixed up. Maybe after tomorrow I won't be.
What's tomorrow?
I'm going to see Claire Cushing, just as she wanted me to.
Bully for our team.
Jeff Clark, where did you come from?
The other side of the lobby. I've been waiting for you.
Trudy, you didn't even tell me.
Ah, she's trying to come between us.
Over to you, Kate, as if you haven't had enough this evening. Oh, goodbye, kid.
Bye. Oh, Jeff, I'm glad you're home.
Thanks for calling at home.
Look, we'll talk tomorrow, okay?
How about right now?
Well, it's kind of late. I need my sleep.
Okay, I just wanted you to listen to something.
What?
Something on my tape recorder. The one you used. Trudy returned it to me.
Well, what is it?
Oh, just something, but it'll keep.
Jeff, did I leave a tape on it?
Yeah, I guess you did.
Jeff, I want that back.
Sure, sure. It's weird, Kate. Real weird.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. O'Cedar Angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
O'Cedar makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. O'Cedar makes your life easier.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Final Net. Gives your hair a great, long-lasting hold. Gentlemen, my good friends, I bid you a fond good day, and, as is usual, identify myself. William Makepeace Thackeray, author of what Mr. Charles Dickens lately referred to as Will Thackeray's distraught novel. The nerve, the crass nerve, such a comment from a writer whose rabid characters run amok, all but frothing at the mouth, and whose vertiginous prose... Confound it. I'll not stain these pages with petty backbiting. Let us move with dignity forward. In this day's chapter, Becky Sharp seeks the wisdom of Jonathan Sedley to solve her problems in the matter of... damn difficult to explain. My apologies, Charles. Distraught novel is a suitable phrase, and I shan't attempt to define the plot. Listeners must follow as best they can. Becky, with Amelia, has arrived at the house in Russell Square to find, instead of Mr. Sedley, Mrs. Along with Becky, we must endure that lady's waterfall of words.
Dear Becky, you were terribly outdone and saddened and deprived that you couldn't be at the party last... Any chance, do take off your boots. I'm certain they're wet. And, oh, Rebecca, how is your headache to catch you from the party? I've already ordered tea.
Mama,
it's early for tea time, but I'm sure you're both chilled to the bone. I'm glad your headache's better, Rebecca.
Mrs. Sedley, has Mr. Sed come home yet?
I've dreadful headaches myself. The apothecary gives me powders that don't help in the least. No, Mr. Sed hasn't. He seems frightfully busy these days and then seems not busy at all. And not himself. I think he is, Eddie.
Mama, if you'll excuse us, Becky and I will go upstairs.
What? Can't excuse you, my dears. Hopkins will be up with tea any moment. It'll be quite spoiled if we don't take it at once. Too strong, toast cold, cucumber sandwiches soggy, waste not, what not. How is Miss Crawley, Rebecca?
Oh, almost well, thank you.
Is she, Eddie?
And other complaints.
Oh, I'm not at all sure we'll have cucumber sandwiches. It's not the season, is it? I do prefer summer to winter. But can be keeping Hopkins so pokey.
Hopkins is very old. He can't come fast up all those stairs the way he used to.
Can't he? Dear me, I had noticed.
Oh, Mama, you have. I've heard you and Papa talk of it.
I do hope Hopkins didn't hear us. I'd not hurt his feelings for anything. What a faithful soul he's been all these. This is my grandfather and my father. Now with... There you are, Hopkins.
Yes, madam.
Are you having difficulty with the stairs?
Mama.
Beg pardon?
The stairs. A heavy tray. Do set it down at once.
Oh, yes, madam.
Have we cucumber sandwiches?
Not the season for cucumbers. I'm sorry, ma'am.
You see, Emmy, not the... Oh, Rebecca, I do forget what you're taking up. Oh, yes, sugar.
Oh, no, Mrs. Sedley, lemon.
Will that be all, madam?
If you've a headache, Hopkins, I've splendid powders that will help you. Yes, that'll be all. Now, do be careful of the stairs.
Oh, thank you, madam.
There's Mr. Sheridan. Forgot his key again. Oh, he is not himself, so absent-minded. Hopkins, you're going to the door, are you?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so glad he's in time for tea. Mr. Sheridan, not Hopkins. It was a smashing party, Rebecca. I'm so sorry your headache kept you from... How is your... Did I ask before? Mr. Sheridan, you're just in time for tea, but no cucumber sandwiches.
Don't believe I care for any tea, my dear. Becky... Welcome.
I came especially to see you, Mr. Sed.
She needs to talk to you quite alone, Papa.
I need your advice very much.
Afraid I'm not up to giving advice today, child.
Mr. Sed, did you say no tea? You must have tea. I'm sure you're chilled to the bone. I absolutely insist you're quite pinched from the cold. We'll all have hot tea and a nice talk and feel much better for it. And, Mr. Sed, where are you going? Well, he simply wanders off. He's never impolite like that. Mr. Sid!
Mama, it's one of his bad days. Do let him be.
So many bad days, so many.
He did look pinched, but not, I think, from the cold.
No, he lets me talk, run on and on the way I do. Never would he allow it worry himself. You've heard him, Rebecca. Enough, Mrs. Sid. Oh, I long for him to say it again. I've got used to it down the years.
He's gone and shut himself in the library again. Every day he sits there alone. Oh, Becky, do go to him.
Oh, no, 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 no. I can't intrude my troubles now.
Oh, no, perhaps you ought not. But you can talk to him a little.
Yes, go, my dear. He does enjoy you so, or did. He seems to enjoy nothing now, not even the party. He hardly seemed there at all, and he... Enough, Mrs. Sed. Go to him, Rebecca.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. Then I learned about Daytrol. I compared labels and couldn't find any difference. Daytrol has the same pain reliever, no aspirin. Daytrol's just as effective as Tylenol. So now I compare prices and buy the one that costs less. Why spend more?
Daytrol, from Bristol-Myers. Ask your doctor about it.
Mr. Seth, it's Becky.
Come in, my dear.
I'll go straight away if you tell me to.
Forgive me if I was rude. Walking away like that was rude. Shut the door and sit down and tell me what advice you need. Though advice from me may be quite useless.
I'll shut the door, I'll sit down, but we'll not talk of me. I can see my troubles are nothing compared to yours.
You've not mentioned to Mrs. Sed or Emmy what my troubles are.
Oh, no.
Well, they'll learn soon enough, I fear. But not yet, not yet.
You've just come from a talk with George's father.
How did you know?
Emmy knew and told me. Mr. Osborne said something cruel and beastly to you, has he not?
Cruel to my Emmy. Merciless. His heart is flint.
Oh, I fear I know what he said.
Yes, I predicted it.
He'll not allow George to marry Emmy without her marriage settlement.
God in heaven, where will I find £10,000?
Oh, if only I'd married Sir Pitt. I could have given it to you and all else you need.
Sir Pitt? What do you say?
This morning he asked me to marry him.
Well, by the eternal, this is news. You refused, Becky? Is that what you're telling me?
I refuse.
This quite bewilders me, Rebecca. I know that you want, above all else, money, position. Yes, yes, the baronet is an old man, but a rich one, a titled one, and won't, if I may speak crudely, live forever. I know your heart is young Rawdon Crawley's, but you could have married him later. I'm sure you thought of all that, and yet there you sit, calmly telling me that you declined Sir Pitt's offer.
Yes.
I'm damned if I... Are you going to tell me why you've denied yourself all you've sworn to have?
I will say to you what I exactly said to Sir Pitt.
I am already married.
What?
Last night, Rawdon and I were married in secret.
Oh, bless my soul.
Oh, and I am in the direst trouble. I should never have told Sir Philip.
Well, I see that at once. Rawdon's aunt will not approve of this match. You told me she would not.
I desperately need your help. There's no one else I can talk to.
You mean to say she's turned you out?
She doesn't yet know.
But you fear Sir Pip will tell her.
He doesn't know it's his son I've married, nor even suspect it. He believes it's a soldier I invented and claim to love, and he thinks the soldier has left him.
Well, I'm not at all sure I have all of this clear, but offhand, I'd say you've no cause to worry so long as Miss Crawley believes the same. Why are you so disturbed, my dear?
Because, no, I will not add my trouble to yours.
My dear Rebecca, these few moments whilst you talked of your troubles, mine have been forgot. Pray do me the kindness of telling me all and letting me try if I can to help. Together, we shall be rid of your hobgoblins, if not mine.
Easier said than done, sir. But very good of you to try. Tomorrow, dear listeners, let us hear him try. Meanwhile, believe me, your obedient but distraught servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color. And it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now. Except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Vanity Fair is dramatized by Nancy Moore and features Dolores Sutton as Becky Sharp. Laura Esterman portrays Amelia Sedley. Guy Sorrell, Mr. Sedley. And your host for Author Studio is Earl Hammond as William Makepeace Thackeray. This program is produced and directed by Frank Papp and brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. Ralph Camargo speaking. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxter. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Daytro, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol Myers.
Yes, I'm coming.
Meg, there's somebody at the door.
I know, Aunt Maggie. I know, I don't.
Who could it be at 6 o'clock in the morning?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm sorry it woke you, Aunt Maggie.
Oh, I don't mind. I woke up, heard this knocking, and the doorbell.
Well, Evie.
Where have you been?
I'm asleep in bed. Come in, come in. What do you mean, where have I been?
Well, I tried to call you last night at midnight when Fred called me and your line was busy.
Busy? I was asleep at midnight.
Yes, we went to bed early.
What do you mean, you haven't talked to Bob?
Talked to him? No. He's off on a skiing trip. You know, he's with Fred and the others.
Oh,
what do you
know, Daddy, he hasn't called
no.
you?
No.
Well, I had to get up early because the dogs wanted to go out, and I thought I'd try phoning you again. The line was still busy.
You mean now our line is still
yeah,
busy?
Maybe the phone is off the hook in the kitchen. I'll go.
All right. Why were you trying to get me?
Well, now look, Peg. don't get upset.
What do you mean?
I said don't get upset.
I'm upset if somebody tells you not to get upset. You get upset.
All right, all right. I shouldn't have said that.
What is wrong?
Well,
something's wrong.
No, look, I don't know, really. Fred called me from Alpine Lodge at midnight.
I told Bob to call me when they got to the skiing place. He's just as bad as the children. You ask them to call you the minute they get someplace because you're worrying, and they never call. And Bob did not call either.
Well, Fred called me, and I guess he remembered to call. Only because, well... Yeah. Now, well, please, please, Fred, don't worry.
What are you trying to tell me?
Well... I guess there was an accident.
An accident?
Yes, the kitchen phone was off the hook. That's why you kept getting a busy signal, Edie.
Aunt Maggie, there's been an accident.
Oh.
You don't mean a plane accident, Edie?
Oh, no. They went up there on some company plane, and that must have gotten there all right, because, as I said, Fred called from Alpine Lodge.
But what accident?
Well, I don't really know. Fred said to me, has Bob called Peg? Yes. And I said, I don't know. And he said, well, he's had an accident.
Oh, I knew it. I knew it. I told Bob not to even attempt to go down that suicide run. I told Bob he wasn't up to it. He insisted on going down
the... Please, now that isn't the point at the moment. Bob had an accident.
An accident? How bad? He's not dead.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
What do you mean, Evie, you don't think
so? Oh,
I'm sorry.
I just meant he can't be dead because Fred asked me if Bob had called you.
Oh. Okay, well, what kind of an accident?
Well, I don't know. The connection was terrible. Alpine Lodge is way up near the border, some dinky village, and I could barely understand Fred. Only something about Bob and his leg and...
Bob and his leg. He broke his leg. I know it. Broke his leg.
Well, at least he's not dead.
Broken leg is bad enough. You'll be laid up for weeks. Is there a good hospital up there? A good doctor?
I don't know. It's just a ski lodge. Oh, I suppose they have some temporary first aid room.
Well, that is hardly good enough for somebody who's broken a leg and needs x-rays and a competent doctor with
I don't know. As I said, the phone connection was awful. And then Fred and I got cut off anyway.
Well, I've got to get up there. Get him to a decent hospital.
Well, I know this. There is no easy way to get to Alpine Lodge.
What does that mean?
Well, as I said... They all went up in this company plane and landed at some tiny airstrip.
Sure.
And then the car met them from Alpine Lodge, and they had to drive up to the lodge.
Well, I've got to get up there. I know, Bob, when he's sick and with a broken leg, he will be just frantic.
Yes, and when Fred phoned, he said there was an awful snowstorm up there.
With a broken leg, Bob could get an infection if it isn't set properly. Mm. And if he doesn't get the right medical attention...
Well, I don't know how you're going to get up there. I really don't. There's no buses, no trains.
I'll charter a plane at the airport and down there.
Charter a plane?
Yes, I'll charter a plane.
You realize what that will cost
you? Well, I can't stop to think about the cost, Aunt Maggie, when Bob's life is at stake.
Well, it's not his life paid. If he just has a broken leg, they can set it.
You realize the complications you can get from a broken leg? And he had a cold. He could get pneumonia on top of everything. He just wouldn't listen to me at all. You know,
well, I don't see you chartering a small plane. You have always said you would never go off in one of those little things.
I know, and I hate it.
And the cost to charter a plane.
I know, Aunt Maggie. When it's an emergency, you don't think about money. Thank heavens we have some savings, and Mother gave me some bonds. I could always pawn my diamond ring.
Should I call the airport in town, see if they have a chartered service, and find out about getting up to Alpine?
Yes, would you, Evie?
Of course.
I'll get dressed.
Mother, what's going on?
Now don't tell Debbie. She'll get all upset.
No, I think when there's a family emergency, we should all know about it.
Mom? What's wrong?
Your father's had an accident, Debbie, and I'm chartering a plane.
He's not dead, is
No, dear.
Well, then what's wrong?
Well, he has a broken leg, apparently. He's lying up there in Alpine Lodge in some first aid room without adequate medical attention. And he had a cold. Let's just hope he doesn't also have pneumonia trying to ski down a slope when he's all out of practice.
Oh, Mother, I'm going to go with you.
No, dear, no.
I'm
no.
going with you.
No, dear.
If anything has happened to Daddy...
I'll call the airport and see if they have a plane.
Yes, do that.
It's pretty early, but they must be used to emergency.
Yes, dear Nancy, I'll get dressed.
Now, I'll look after everything here. Don't worry.
You have to feed the dogs, Aunt Maggie, and the cat.
Yes, forget the dogs and the cat. I'll feed them.
I always thought of myself as being so cool and calm. I'm just going to pieces.
Oh, Mother, I'm with you. I'm right here with you.
Yes, I know. Aunt Maggie, if the department store calls about the upholstery on the chair, then we're going to call today. You tell them I want this.
Mother, forget about the upholstery, okay?
I don't even know what I'm saying. If anything happens to your father...
Oh, Mom, please, now, I'm going with you.
You know what probably happened? Will be killed flying up to Alpine Lodge in this dinky plane.
Oh, Mother, please. Oh. Try to calm down.
Okay? I'm calm. Oh, Bob, hang on. We're coming.
I'm
doctor and my husband's had a skiing accident
here? Oh, yes, yes, Mrs. Baxter.
How is he, nurse?
Well, he's doing as well as can be expected.
I want to get him to a real hospital as soon as possible. I'm sure he's had wonderful care here, but this is just an emergency first aid place. Which room is he in?
Oh, right in there. You can go in. He's not asleep.
Thank you. My daughter Debbie's with me. She just stopped at the candy bar machine down there. Would you send her in when she comes?
Well, yes, of course.
Thank you. You sure he's not asleep?
No, he's fine. In fact, he's adorable. Oh, the nurses here just adore him. He's so funny.
Really?
Oh, if you don't mind my saying so, Mrs. Baxter, it must be such fun to be married to somebody like Mr. Baxter. He's so funny, and he's such a doll.
Yes?
Oh, yes. He never complains. Most of the people here who have skiing accidents are really pains in the neck, but Mr. Baxter has just been the best patient.
I'm so glad to hear it. It's all right if I go in.
Oh, yes, of course. Right in there.
Thank you. Hello, dear.
Peg! Well, Peg, honey, for the love of Mike, what are you doing here?
How are you?
Well, I'm fine, just fine. But what are you doing here?
What do you suppose I'm doing here? When I heard about your accident, you think I'm just going to sit down there and beckon and do nothing? You might have been out of my mind. Where's the cast on your leg? Didn't they even put a cast on your leg here at this...
Well, why should I need a cast? I just sprained my ankle.
What?
Yeah. we got here, and I didn't even get out on the ski slope. I decided to take a shower, and I slipped on the soap and sprained my ankle. I really turned it. For a while, they thought it was broken, but it's just a bad sprain. But what in the Sam Hill are you doing here?
I chartered a plane to rescue you and take you to a good hospital because I thought your leg was broken.
No, it's just a sprained ankle.
And with the cold you had, you might also have had pneumonia.
Oh, I'm fine. For Pete's sake, you really chartered a plane?
A sprained ankle.
Yeah.
And you've been entertaining the nurses, I see.
Oh, well, you know how it is.
I was ready to pawn my diamond ring to rescue you.
I tried to call you, but the line was busy.
Kitchen phone was off the hook.
You mean to say you chartered one of those little planes which you said you'd never go up in just to rescue me?
Yes, and do you know what it cost?
Yes. And I'm happy to know that you thought I was worth it.
I tell you. When I get you home, you're going to have to put up with my nursing instead of all those cute young things apparently around here who find you so adorable.
Well, now look, dear, I wasn't flirting with them. I just got a little... Well,
nurse!
You know.
Let's get Mr. Baxter ready to go home, shall we?
Oh, we are going to miss him so. He's been darling.
Yes. Well, I'm rescuing him. From the nurses, apparently.
Dear.
Yeah, we'll talk about this tomorrow, dear.
Oh, boy. I'll bet we will.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. Then I learned about Daytrol. I compared labels and couldn't find any difference. Daytrol has the same pain reliever, no aspirin. Daytrol's just as effective as Tylenol. So now I compare prices and buy the one that costs less. Why spend more?
Daytrol, from Bristol-Myers. Ask your doctor about it.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Osedor angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Osedor Angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Osedor makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Nice sound. Osedor makes your life easier.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by the Osedor Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold.
The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Dr. Carter in his office, Jane?
Yes, he is, Angela, but he asked not to be disturbed.
I see. He's not on the phone, is he?
No, the light's not lit.
All right, then.
You'll tell him I told you?
It won't matter, Jane.
Who is it?
Angela.
Yes, come on in.
Oh, Jason. What are we going to do?
I wish I knew.
I wanted to stay with her today, but she insisted.
Yes, I know.
I just can't believe it. Not Emily. All the way in, driving, I kept thinking it's like an accident happening to you. Suddenly you're hit.
It does seem sudden, Angela, but she's had the brain tumor for some time. It's just now that...
What will happen to her? She said you can't operate.
That's right. We may try radiotherapy. It might halt the growth.
But how will it affect her?
Well, I'm afraid she'll just get weaker and weaker.
Physically, you mean?
Yes.
She won't... She's afraid of what it'll do to her mind.
God, I know.
Well, what will it do?
Well, it shouldn't affect her mentally or emotionally. Of course, the fact of it, as well as knowing she's going to die, I don't know, Angela. When the shock wears off, she could be very depressed.
God, who wouldn't be? You don't have any idea of how long?
Months or years. All depends on whether the growth is slow.
Marsh had stopped in to see her just as I left.
Yes, I thought he would.
I didn't want to leave her alone, but Jen's with her.
Yes, the children.
Jason, it's going to be awfully hard on them. And Emily must be aware of it, too. She has to remember what it was like when our parents died. She was 13, and I was 16. Our world suddenly...
Yes, I'd forgotten. You both were so young when you lost your parents. Who is it?
Marsh.
Oh, come in, Marsh.
Oh, do you want me to come back later?
No.
Do you think Emily should be alone now, Marsh?
I don't know. I think we do what she wants us to do.
Yes, I think you're right.
It just seems that
I don't think there are any rules, Angela.
I know.
How was she when you told her last night?
Last night? Oh. You know, I hardly remember in a way. I think we both were in shock. And then I think we were both relieved. Just relieved.
Yes.
Now, all those weeks, I knew and was dreading telling her. She knew there was something wrong, so now finally we know. And at least we both know together.
I don't see how you did it. I mean... Know about it all that time.
Well, Angela, I guess I put it in the back of my mind because I had to. The only person I could talk to, of course, was Marsh.
And I had to keep reminding him that Emily had made me promise to tell her.
Well, I'm still not absolutely sure she should have been told, Marsh.
She has the right to know.
Oh, but maybe it could have been put off for a time. But with the symptoms, I suppose she'd know something was terribly wrong.
But she could have had weeks or months of not thinking about dying.
And then when she knew, she would know we'd all lied to her.
Is that worse?
I don't know.
I think it would be. At least for Emily.
I don't know. I don't know for sure.
You ought to know that better than anyone, Jason.
Some people want to know and some don't.
Well, I've seen patients here who've known they were dying. And their family and friends know, but they all pretend it's not there. It's not true.
Are they better off?
I get the terrible feeling they're trying not to embarrass each other.
Well, I'm glad Emily and I can talk about it.
That's what I mean.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. Then I learned about Daytrol. I compared labels and couldn't find any difference. Daytrile has the same pain reliever, no aspirin. Daytrile is just as effective as Tylenol. So now I compare prices and buy the one that costs less. Why spend more?
Daytrile, from Bristol-Myers. Ask your doctor about it.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
We must get a humidifier. These plants are dying of thirst.
Then you wouldn't have to spray them, Caroline, and I think you enjoy it.
Well, yes, Lynn, you're probably right.
But then, of course, you could find something else.
Oh, I'm starting another needlework pillow. I thought I'd do it for you and Kurt. It's a garden scene, the way it looked on your wedding day, and I'll put your names and date on it.
Oh, that sounds lovely, Caroline. You've been awfully good to Kurt and me.
Oh, nonsense, Lynn. This is your family, your home.
I hope you don't think I'm being ungrateful when I say I do want to have a place of our own.
Why, of course not. Just as soon as you can.
Wish I knew when it would be.
Well, what is Kurt doing to find something?
Well, he's been to several agencies, but he doesn't have much experience.
Mm-hmm. It's too bad that Swiss distributorship fell through.
I think he would have been good at it.
Maybe your father can help him. He does have connections.
The way Daddy feels about Kurt?
Well, have you asked him?
Oh, Caroline, I can't bring myself to do it, and I don't think Kurt can either.
Well, how's the Jefferson newsletter coming along?
Very well. The second issue will soon be out, and everyone at the hospital liked it very much.
You know, several of my friends were very impressed with the story you did on Jennifer's accident. They were quite amazed to learn that she'd been almost gone and how she was revived.
It was a good story, wasn't it?
Yes, indeed. Have you seen much of Dr. Gonzalez lately?
No, but Anne has.
Uh-huh.
She had dinner with him the other night.
Well, that's interesting.
I thought so.
I'm still trying to find some way to thank him for saving Jennifer's life.
What have you thought of doing?
It's been made very clear that I can't give him anything. He's very proud, and, I understand that.
Oh, you'll think of something.
Anne thought maybe helping to start some kind of a clinic that he would be interested in.
Would he be?
Well, I'm going to have to find out. I hardly know where to start. Maybe Anne or you could sort of see if something like that would be acceptable. There has to be something I can do.
I'm glad you're coming home with me tonight, Angela.
It's so hard to know what the right thing to do is. I've been wondering if Emily would want me to move back in again, or if she'd think I was making too much of it.
Well, we'll see.
I guess the next thing is how and when to tell Bobby and Susie and Jennifer.
Angela, I don't know what to do.
Mm.
Not telling them is protecting them as long as we can.
I think Marsh was right when he said we'll have to do what is right for Emily.
And how do we know what is right?
Jason, I don't know. All day, thoughts have been running through my mind. I mean, just the idea that Emily's going to die, I just can't accept it yet.
I know.
I heard the words, but I cannot believe it. Maybe she'll get well.
Oh, Angela, that would be a miracle.
Well, then let's look for one.
You know, I've seen cases of spontaneous and unexplained recoveries. But I don't think the rate's very high on brain tumors.
Well, it was a miracle when Jennifer was saved.
In a way, yes, but not really. Joe Gonzalez knew what he was doing. He was in the right spot at the right time.
Yes, and also just a few more minutes in the water would have made the difference.
You know, Angela, come to think of it, I'd rather not think of Jen's being alive as a miracle.
Why not, Jason?
Well, then, whoever arranges those things would figure the Carter family already had had one miracle.
Oh, yes. I see what you mean.
We've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest-lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective. To Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers.